Hi, Miss Mullet. How are you this morning?
I'm happy to speak with you.
Thank you so much. I know junkets can be kind of whatever, so thank you for being here this morning. I'm wondering how much freedom did you get to explore and improv on the twin horrors of like the cosmic monster horror and the racist horror, because those are competing forces in your program. So I was wondering how much freedom, or was it all very prescriptive?
Here's the thing, Misha's writing is pretty sophisticated. She and I have gotten into such a rhythm, having this now being the second project that we work together on. There's always room for collaboration, and there's so much room for you to really bring the character to life. In terms of improv, it wasn't really about improv in words or anything like that. It was just about making these characters living, breathing people, who have wants, needs, desires. And her text was such a beautiful foundation for that. And that's why I keep coming back to work with her, because she's so gifted at maintaining varying degrees of tones. And this is a big genre piece, and yet at its heart, it's a family drama, and so we sat down early on and just really fleshed out the character, and we're really on the same page about wanting to create a full buoyant woman, this woman who's a disruptor, a bit of a tornado, wanting to explore her contradictions, wanting to not be afraid for her to be flawed or take very questionable actions. Wanting to really lean into this liberation that she's seeking, and yet she's gasping for life. I think Misha really empowered me to take Letty and run with it. Of course, there's moments that's not scripted. And when she would grab, when she would, when we would do it, she'd grab it and be like, okay, that's, like the moment with the shades, people, it's like this gift they're using. Like that was just, it was just the timing of the women walking by, but Misha loved it. And so she told Yan, let's keep that, or, so it's totally a collaborative spirit on set, in which she pushes us, but really the text is a beautiful foundation for us to bring the characters to life.
All right, Lauren Easter.
I was wondering about like your personal favorite kind of science fiction fantasy sort of things, and like especially the haunted house aspect was especially fun to watch. Is there any particular kind that you love and really liked exploring with this show?
Yeah, the haunted house was for sure a challenge for me, because of all the supernatural elements or things that we dive into in the terror, the horror of it. Diving into the world of demonic spirits scares me the most. I mean, like, I don't like to mess with it. Hi, little kittens. For me, this text was very sacred and very ancestral, and there for sure were moments that I could feel on a molecular level, my ancestors churning through me, right? And so for me, it actually, the haunted house, and without giving away too much, dealing with those supernatural spirits required certain rituals to really take it on, because it's a dark place that you can go to.
All right, call from Complex.
Hey, Journey, how you doing? I was it was dope to see Misha being the person kind of at the helm of this, and it was cool to see you because obviously you've worked with her in the past, but I was wondering, can you talk about the time frame? Like, did you I feel like the second season of Underground that year might have been the year that it was announced that she was starting to work on this, but how soon were you aware, and was it something where, like, was she talking to you about, possibly doing it, anything like that?
I was aware of her working on this pretty early on before it was even announced, but I was still attached to Underground, and then Underground got canceled and they were really trying to find a home for it. And it looked like we were going to find a home and then we didn't. And she sent me the script of Lovecraft after she wrote it, but in a very casual, this is, you know, I just locked myself away for weeks. This is what I, you know, what I got. It wasn't, she was not offering it to me. And so when I read it, I was devastated at the notion of her just casually passing this to me and not offering it to me. You know, I was losing sleep. Like when I read the first few pages of the show, I was like, oh, I miss her writing. But then once I got to Letty, I was like, wait. There's a character that I have, I'm right, this is, no one can play this but me. I mean, what is she doing? Why is she not offering? And I started freaking out to the point where I was losing sleep for months over it. And she was kind of like my invisible fifth agent on the side. I would, you know, show her scripts. I was getting quite a few offers because Underground was critically acclaimed. And so I was in a position for the first time in my life in which I'm like getting offers from amazing showrunners. And everything, she was like, nah, can't do that. Nah, that's trash. Nah, it's a nah. And I'm thinking, why the hell is this heifer not offering me the one show that she's doing? And so months go by, like 5 months go by, and they're starting to gear up for casting, and I'm about to sign on for something. And I was in the J.J. Abrams office about something completely unrelated, and he just casually says, hey, did you read the Lovecraft Country script? And I was like, man, it's amazing. Misha's writing is incredible, blah, blah. And then he's like, you should do it. And I say, yo, I mean, yeah, what is she doing? Like, she hasn't talked to me about it. Like, does she want me? Like, I don't want to pressure her. Misha's not the person that you can like campaign for a role with, because that'll turn her off. And he didn't even acknowledge any of that. He just says, you should do it. I'm like, dude, you don't have to convince me of this. I agree that I should do this. And so a few more weeks go by and I'm literally about to sign on to something. And she just casually calls me and says, hey, so we just hired this dope director, Yann Demange. I want you to go and meet him. Okay, bye. Then I met with Yann and then they offered me the project. So clearly there had been discussions about it. She just hadn't talked to me about it.
That's amazing.
All right. Philippe Patterson, Tajimag.
Hello, Journey. Thank you for taking your time out today.
Thank you.
So one of the biggest questions I had was, which is scarier from your perspective and from your character, the racism in 1950s or the witches, ghosts, and goblins that you see or that you know of?
You know, the thing for to me is with the monsters, what you see is what you get. Mm-hmm. I mean, you kind of know what to expect. It's pure danger, pure terror, right? You either outrun them, you do whatever you can, or, you know, you're screwed. With the systemic racism, right, that this nation's been built upon that we've yet to dismantle, it's to me more horrifying because it's more nuanced and you have to fight it at every single step of your life. So in the pursuit of your happiness, whether it's purchasing a home and having to fight against the redlining and the housing discrimination in the 1950s and not being able to get a loan from a bank if you want to purchase in a certain neighborhood, or if it's driving while Black, and that is a danger in itself, or trying to apply for a job at a local store that you want to work at, whatever, you know, it's actually more oppressive and more terrifying to me because you don't really know what to expect and you don't know when it's coming. Yeah, that's my own opinion.
All right, Shannon McGrew, Nightmarish Conjuring.
Hi, Journey, my name is Shannon. Thank you so much for speaking with me. I'm obsessed with the show.
Yeah. Given the range that Letty displays throughout the series, which parts were you able to identify that were most like you or least like you? And what was the challenge in developing those parts and turning them into your performance?
Thank you for that question. Yeah, you know, a big part of Letty is inspired by my grandmother, whom I never got the chance of meeting, but her nickname was Showtime. And she was a beauty queen, first Black Miss Galveston from Galveston, Texas, raised four children as a single mom and went to work. I grew up hearing the stories of my grandmother going to work and being so mistreated by the family she worked for. She worked cleaning white folks' homes. And yet they could not rob her of her dignity. Every single day she'd get up early in the morning at the crack of dawn, press out her dress, do her hair and makeup, and walk out that house with so much pride and dignity. And for me, one thing in doing the research that I did, going back to the writings of a James Baldwin or the poetry of a Gwendolyn Brooks, or trying to understand what makes the fire inside an Eartha Kitt light, you know, I came to the conclusion that we come from kings and queens, okay? And regardless of how this nation has tried to erase us, one of the most radical things we have as a people we've done is to not allow them to erase our dignity. And so in approaching Letty, this defiant disruptor, this woman in search of her tribe, in search of her family, to me, it was important to hone in on the struggle to maintain your dignity in spite of your oppression, the struggle to not be erased in spite of the systemic racism, right? She picks up a camera, very much so like a Gordon Parks, right? Because she just wants to see our people in everyday life, moving in, you know, protesting. She just wants to feel alive. She just wants to feel seen. And, you know, there's so many ways in which I can relate to that. You know, I think of Letty as, you know, in mythology, she'd have been like the one of the virgin goddesses, right? You know, who owns her own sexuality, who makes her own choices, you know, who knows her true intrinsic worth. And so it was a lot of fun to explore Letty, but it was also important to own her weaknesses, her flaws. You know, she doesn't entirely apologize for them. They're there on full display, which I love. But yeah, I had a lot of fun just diving into her. And for me, again, this whole story, one of my teachers refers to it as blood memory, you know, this visceral connection that I have to my people, to the oppression of my people, to the joy of my people. And it's actually quite radical to pursue joy in spite of your oppression.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. All right, and our last question will be Alcia Ringuso from Entertainment Voice.
Hi, Journey. Thank you for speaking with us today. Alcy with Entertainment Voice. This is just such a unique work of, I guess you could call it radical pop art, because it's beautiful pop art, but the heart of it is so timeless and relevant. And you mentioned James Baldwin, and I just loved how you hear his voice in the very first episode. You know, he's like a prophet for our times. And what do you hope this show says to the viewer watching it specifically in 2020, this year that's so, you know, it's a year of so many changes, and you know, where as Americans, we are being forced to really confront our history and discuss it, even as this pandemic is like turning everything upside down. What do you hope audiences get out of Lovecraft Country specifically in this year in 2020?
Well, yeah, I mean, you touch upon a few points. I think there's a danger when the truth is distorted. It's lethal. It's and it's been weaponized throughout our nation. when your history is rewritten, when your history is overlooked, when your history is erased. What excites me so much about Lovecraft is it is this radical reimagining of the story. It's centering Black voices in a genre that we've been shut out from for so long. And you know, our characters go through absolute irreversible change. But in essence, it's really this ancestral story about our heroes going on a quest to bring down white supremacy. And we see in 2020, this nation's still trying to, you know, this nation still hasn't healed. And as Black Americans, we're still trying to bring down white supremacy. So I think, you know, it's for sure a meditation on where we are now, where we come from, and in such a radical way forces us to confront the ugliness of our past. But I think there's healing in confronting it. I don't think you can move forward unless you confront it and heal from it.
Thank you guys so much. The email for your next room should be in, waiting for you in your individual email boxes. Go ahead and head there now.
Thank you, Journey.
Thank you for your questions.
Journey.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And you rocked as Black Canary. You sound like the dopest shit I've ever seen. That's my shit. I'm telling you, that shit made my daughter do backflip. That was the beast ass role.
Oh man, I appreciate the love. I love Black.
All right, peace out. That was great.
So much.
Thank you.
All right.